What's going on? It's your boy B. I got Country, Soul, and Aaron. Let's get it.
Live from all over the country.
It's DePod.
DePod.
Coming at you right now.
Hey, yo.
There it is, B.
Hey,
we back. When you hear that ayo, you know it's official, right?
Right. I've been slacking on the previous ayos, but hey, just know, we back.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, fellas?
What up, bro?
Hey, man, just chilling. How y'all doing?
Can't complain. Shout out to Soul, though. Hey, listen, I was online today, right? No. I'm not.
What'd he do?
I'm not going to hit you with any bad news, but I would say over the past couple months since we started the group chat, we always used to talk shit on Soul because, you know, he had the Android and he was messing up the chat and whatnot. But just announced this week, Apple loses its number one spot against Android. So Android is officially the number one phone in the United States.
Team Android, baby. I'm telling you. I've been telling y'all for years.
People who try to send me Android videos look grainy as hell. Looks like it came out of a freaking 16-bit Sega Genesis.
Okay, no, I do agree with that. But when you take the actual picture, the picture in your phone, way better than an iPhone. Not even close.
Took me a long time to convert. I was an Android guy.
I was too, bro.
Yeah, it just made my life easier. Yeah.
But
man.
That's what they say about Androids. They're more user-friendly, though.
Yeah, they are. But when everybody has an iPhone and you got to do iPhone stuff, you know, it just makes it hard.
Yeah, I don't talk to those people. I just ignore them, you know.
Yeah.
Keep them in the dark.
Shout out to Aaron for joining us on the show today. What's going on, my guy?
Not much. Thanks for having me. I'm down here in the Outer Banks. Had a nice beach day today, you know. Living the beach life. No one down here yet. It's going to get crazy in about a month, and I'm not looking forward to it. I've been chilling.
I shot a music video. I think I shot two music videos for Aaron back in the day, and talented dope rapper. Do you still rap, by the way, or no?
I don't, man. I hung up the mic. I just talk now on this stuff. But yeah, we knew each other at a time where man. If we don't talk much now, but that was a time.
Yeah.
Yo, Aaron, when you stopped rapping?
I did a final song in Colombia a couple years ago in South America and shot this ridiculous music video. And then I was like, I'm too old for this. And really, I'm just not into it anymore. You know, like I feel like a different human being, to be honest, than I was like 5-10 years ago. So every time I try to go in and do it, it just feels inauthentic.
So do you feel like it's more of you that changed or the music that changed that made you fall out?
No, it's me for sure. It's me. I run a business now. I got a nonprofit. Like, I'm just not into like making rap music anymore. You know, I'm just not, it doesn't juice me up. It used to, you know, get me excited. It doesn't really, I force it now. It just feels forced, you know?
Have y'all heard the news about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul?
Yup.
Official bout.
Official bout. And the results will be recorded on official records. Knockouts are permitted. The fight will consist of 8 2-minute rounds. Fighters will wear 14-ounce gloves. No headgear will be used.
I think it might be officially rigged now.
Knockouts permitted. So this is the contract, or this is just what they're saying online?
This is the contract. It's official.
Well, here's the thing. I was looking at it today, and Jake Paul is trying to fight at 230. That Sugar Shane Mosley basically said that Jake Paul is up to 230 now, and he originally fights at 184. But I still don't think. I mean, let's be real, man. If I'm going to fight arguably the greatest heavyweight boxer of all time, of our time, we can say that, I'm not going to put 50 extra freaking pounds on. I'm going to want to fight in something I'm comfortable with. So I just think it's a publicity stunt, me personally. I hope not. Like I said, I hope Jake Paul finds a way to piss off Tyson, and Tyson just destroys him, man. Because if anybody's known to go off script, like we said in the previous podcast, it's Mike fucking Tyson.
Right. I mean, also, though, do you think Mike Tyson, like we talked about before on the pod when we discussed this, do you think he would honestly throw the fight for the bag? You figure if he was going to do that, right, you would keep the rules the way they were before. Right?
Yeah, it depends on the bag, man. But, I mean, it ain't only throwing the fight. It's basically like slapping boxing in the face. So if Mike Tyson feels like, you know, maybe – we don't know Mike Tyson's love for boxing. You know what I'm saying? He could just be like, fuck boxing. I'm just trying to get my bag.
Nah, not Mike. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so Mike's worth $10 million and he's supposed to make $20 million for this fight. This is the biggest grossing fight he's gonna have since his actual fighting days. So if Jake Paul on the side is saying, "Hey man, don't knock me out. I need the judges to decide this. This has to go 5 rounds. I think it very easily is just whatever Jake Paul wants it to do, because you don't get this opportunity at a payday without these agreements.
Right.
And that's just what it is.
But then why change the rules in the contract?
Because Jake Paul needs to be legitimate, man. Jake Paul needs a boost for people to take him seriously. I'll be real, man. I'm not a Jake Paul hater. Jake Paul proved he could fight with that Tommy Fury fight. He can actually fight. But the fact that he's willing to step into the ring with a 57-year-old Mike Tyson, man, number one, it doesn't impress me at all. I think it's stupid. And if for some reason he does beat Mike Tyson, people will just be like, well, Mike Tyson was over the hill. You know what I'm saying?
Don't you guys think it's a lose-lose?
Pretty much.
It's kind of a lose-lose, right? Like, you win, then everybody's going to think it's rigged. And you lose, you just got knocked out by a 60-year-old. You knocked out a 60-year-old. Right. So I don't understand, you know, where's the win except for the paydays for everyone.
That's exactly what it is. Like, I think making it an official fight, it makes people want to see it more now. Because, like, that exhibition fight with Roy Jones Jr., man, like, that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. That shit was terrible, man.
But let's also not forget, right, the passion and the love that a lot of these boxers have for the sport, right? It's like any athlete, right? Sometimes you could be playing in a Rucker Park. You're still going to give it 110% playing in Rucker Park because you got people watching you. Like, ego is involved. Mike Tyson has an ego, right? So that's why I feel like he is not going to just throw this fight or do it for the payday. Like, he has pride in that. You know, this is an older man coming back into the boxing ring wanting to prove that he still has it. Mike has a lot to prove. He's an old man fighting a young guy.
These guys aren't pulling up to the Rucker when they're like 10 years right. past retirement age, not making $40 million.
No, they do. Trust me. They pull up to the Rucker after retirement, right? Look at the big three, right? These dudes is old, still trying to give it their all and still trying to put on a show for the people. It's pride and it's a love for the sport, you know? I don't feel like you lose that at any point. Personally,
I don't know. Like I said, I don't think we know where Mike Tyson's head's at when it comes to boxing. Yeah. Man. Maybe he feels like he's got a bad taste in his mouth about boxing. Because, I mean, he did go through a lot of bullshit with, like, Don King and all that shit, man. So he might just be like, fuck it. I'm going to get my money. Who
but
cares?
But you even see him training, like, and that's even when he's thing, not
but what you
got to
understand is who – do you really think Mike Tyson gives a fuck what people think about him? No, they don't. No, we don't. Mike Tyson basically walks to the beat of his own drum, bro.
Maybe like, not in his personal life, but in his professional life, I feel like that's different, right? People may not care what others think about them personally, but professionally, I think he has pride in it. Man, it's pride thing. Y'all ain't got no pride. That's the thing. Y'all ain't got no pride.
I think it's a setup for some future fights. You know, I think he gets this on a professional ranking. He goes 1-0, and then he's trying to lure guys. You've heard him call out Canelo. Like, I don't know if Canelo would ever take a fight like that, but when you start mixing in UFC and start putting on professional records and people start realizing how much money these fights are bringing in, and not to mention, Mike's got his own podcast and Jake's this big YouTube star, so there's things outside of boxing that people are going to start following Mike Tyson for and following whoever's fighting Jake Paul. They're going to see what they're up to and they might latch on to them long term. So this is a brand builder as well as just a fight for money. People are going to start following Mike Tyson that follow Jake Paul.
Who do y'all have winning the fight?
Oh, Mike. Iron
it's
Mike.
It's got to be Mike, but if it isn't Mike, it's fixed, man. I don't care what anybody says. Like I said, man, I'm not a Jake Paul hater. He held his own with Tommy Fury, but, I mean, that's light years competition past what Mike Tyson is, man. Even at 60, I think.
Moving on. Did any of y'all check out the NFL draft this past Thursday, Friday?
Watched too much of it.
What are your thoughts on it?
Do you think – all right, so was you surprised to see those six quarterbacks go in the top 12? Because I certainly was. Bo Nix was not a first-round pick. I think they was arguing Michael Penix Jr. wasn't, but I was a fan of Michael Penix Jr. I think he was definitely a first round pick. I'm back and forth on JJ McCarthy. I think it's more hype just because he won the national championship. And Drake May could be argued too. I think it's his size that basically got him into that conversation. But It was six, right? Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Drake May.
Yeah, it was six of them. I'm actually surprised that May didn't have, you know, any consideration at that number two pick, because a lot of people had him in the talks.
I think that the Sam Howell pedigree, I think like when you're looking at it, when you're looking at the SEC is going to get you more prepared for high-level competition. And at the end of the day, we're looking at dogs, and I don't think that Drake May was as tested as Jaden Daniels was in college, to be real.
Look, I don't like to judge a book by his cover, but May just his face looked soft to me. I don't want to judge him, but he got that face right that you just want to punch.
Drake May has terrible tape. Like terrible tape. His footwork
is horrible.
Wildly inconsistent. He scrambles as soon as the ball snapped and his first read isn't there. He doesn't make any of the easy throws. I thought the Patriots honestly had the worst draft because they took him at three, and I'm surprised they didn't trade out of it. And not just that, it's like you have to look at the situation you're going into. So Drake May is going into a situation where they're getting rid of their 20-year head coach for another defensive guy who's never been a head coach at linebacker, so they don't have an offensive coach. And he's going to sit behind Jacoby Brissett, which should really tell you everything that you need to know about Drake May. He's a project, because any other quarterback that got taken, any of those other six, if they got drafted to the Patriots, Jacoby Brissett would not be starting over them. That tells you everything that you need to know, and he's going to start over Drake May.
I would say Bo Nix probably would be setting too. I'm not a fan of Bo Nix.
I think Bo Nix can do well with Peyton. The guy had
really?
Because he doesn't turn the ball over, and they just at Oregon they do those little short. He does a lot of like little Drew Brees stuff, little like short passes here and there, dink and dunk, a little of the stuff that Purdy Niners. So I think they're going to figure out how to use him. I don't know if he's going to be great, and I don't know if he should have been taken in the first round, but I think he's going to do well with the Broncos.
So let me ask you guys this then: do you feel like it's better for these young quarterbacks to sit behind veteran quarterbacks? Because nowadays, you know, the whole game's changed. Before, you would come into the league and you would sit behind that veteran starter. Now they're just throwing these young kids to the wolves. What do you guys feel like is the best strategy to approach grooming a young quarterback?
I feel like it depends on the age. It's like that Michael Penix Jr. behind Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins got $100 million guaranteed, but Michael Penix Jr. is 24. He's not going to be – they didn't draft him to sit and be a project behind Kirk Cousins, man. Like, something's going to have to be done about that. I think we could probably see Michael Penix Jr. at some point this year. And Kirk Cousins might end up on the Raiders, or who else needs a quarterback right now?
I'm going to be honest. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I don't even care what they do. Kirk Cousins has made so much money in the NFL and has nothing to show for it. Made more money than Tom Brady. It's the most unbelievable run from a quarterback contract-wise I've ever seen in NFL history.
Oh, no. Sam Bradford got his fair share.
Not even like Kirk, though. Look at Kirk's numbers, man. That boy's been getting paid.
The Kirk Cousins situation is not as bad as everyone's making it out to be, because Kirk Cousins got a 4-year contract, but they front loaded the first two, and then they have these really small dead cap hits on the last two. So he's making all of his money in the first 2 years, and they're just going to cut him after the second year if Michael Penix is ready to play. So they're only going to owe 25 and then 12.5 dead cap the third and fourth year. So I don't know like why everybody was freaking out. Oh, Kirk Cousins, and there was going to be beef on the sideline, and Atlanta didn't tell them. Atlanta told him everything that he needed to know with the contract that they gave him, and it was his agent's job at that point to tell him, like, hey, they're probably only going to keep you for 2 years, and you're either going to get cut or have to restructure your contract. So everybody's like, oh my God, 4 years, Kirk Cousins. He's 36 coming off an ACL injury. So Penix is going to play within a year or two. He just needs to learn.
I think in that situation, man, knowing that they were really in need of defensive players and they got a quarterback, I think that probably did blindside Kirk. Like, dude, what the fuck, man?
Real quick, Aaron, let me hit you with a question. Who you think is going to be the more successful quarterback, Caleb Williams or Daniels?
Williams. Yeah, Williams just—he just has everything, and he's set up to go in the offense. Though he's set up to go. I mean, they got wide receivers there, tight end. They worked on the offensive line, and he is unbelievable. I mean, he is everything you could ever want of a quarterback being drafted number one overall. There's like no discussion about it. I know a lot of people said that Jaden Daniels, and he's great. Any other year, he would have got drafted one, but that's how good Caleb Williams is going to be. I think, you know, 2 years in, they're going to start winning some playoff games, not this year, but the following year.
I agree.
He landed in a great situation, right? How many number one quarterbacks land to a team, you know, like the Bears that are, you know, have a team around them like that? Normally you're going to a garbage team.
Structured offense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know y'all been paying attention to the Drake and Kendrick beef. It's been like, what, almost 2 weeks? Ain't Kendrick having
response? Probably three,
yet?
Right?
Close to three.
Is it too late for a response from Kendrick?
I think it is. I think it's a little too late now unless he drops something absolutely incredible. It has to be crazy at this point because you can't let Drake hit you with the diss track and then he comes back and slaps you with an in-between song asking where you're at. Like, that is the most embarrassing. I've never seen an artist do that in my life. They diss you and then come out with another diss track asking why you haven't
responded.
He
did it to Meek, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Back
but
to
the,
back.
But the thing is, man, if Kendrick drops some hot shit, all will be forgotten. So I don't think it's ever – I think it is. I don't think it would ever be one of those. I don't think it's like how fast you can put a diss track out. I mean, Rick Ross put a diss track out like 2 hours after Drake dropped his
and
nobody acknowledged it.
Like, I feel like that was already made, though. Made and ready to go.
It had to have been.
Probably.
It had to have been.
More than likely.
He had one in the tuck. But that's my point, though. Shouldn't Kendrick have had something in the tuck? You're going to fire the shot – but you're not going to have anything in the tuck ready to go? That's crazy.
I don't think he fired it with the purpose of going into an all-out song trade-off beef with Drake. I think what happens is, so like I was thinking about this earlier and I was like thinking about, you guys see the most recent WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Like the highlights of the most recent WrestleMania, right? So like The Rock's been around, like Drake is The Rock, right? Drake is, you know, the Rock is in movies, he's in WWE, he's all over TV, he's staying on the Billboard charts, or like the same type of guy. He's doing all the WrestleMania stuff. He's the head honcho, the boss coming in. And it really doesn't matter. Like, Kendrick just comes in every now and then and ends up being like the Undertaker of the situation.
Right.
Just dropping one line, one song, you get choke slammed. But The Rock's still the big guy in the picture, right? And I don't think Kendrick goes into these situations like, I think he's just trying to craft the best song and he knows what's going to get people talking, but I don't think he's interested in going into beefs the way that, you know, rappers typically trade songs back and forth. I just don't think it's his style and I don't think he's going to participate in it, but I do think he understands and knows that if he disses someone like Drake and J. Cole, who on the down low are probably like, he's probably cool with, that it's going to get people talking and everybody's going to start scurrying around and talking about it. And I think they needed to bring a little bit of relevance back to hip hop.
All right. Speaking of diss tracks, here go the top 10 diss records of all time, according to TheGuardian.com. Here we go.
Ready for this one.
Coming in at number 10, Eminem Killshot 2018.
Oh, okay.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Number 10, I got to hear what's ahead of him. Okay.
That's fair.
Coming in at number 9, Boogie Down Productions, South Bronx, 1986.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
dope. Before my time.
I'm too young for that one. Yeah, I'm too young. Look at Jack. You're old ass. Jack knows it. Yo, Jack, yeah, tell us about it.
You would know that. The South Bronx. South Bronx. Come on, man.
All right. Coming in at number 8, Common, The Bitch in You from 1996.
That was the West Side Connection disc, right?
Yeah.
I think it was the West Side Connection disc.
Yeah.
He made a video to that too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the video back in the day. Okay. I wouldn't have it on my list, but cool.
Coming in at number 7. Back to Back, 2015.
That should be on the list, 100%.
Yeah, gotta be higher.
Legendary. I thought it would be higher too, Aaron. I'm gonna be honest with you. That's gotta
that's
be
mainstream.
Higher.
It hurt. Yeah, we'll see what the other ones are.
Coming in at number 6, Dr. Dre, Fuck with Dre Day, and Everybody Celebrate.
Oh yeah, dude, I forgot about that one. The Eazy-E joint. Yeah,
in the top 10.
You don't do Dre Day? Are you serious? That was a full blown diss to Eazy-E. And Tim Dog by Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
Yeah, I guess I got to hear the rest of the list before I decide what belongs on and what doesn't.
Coming in at number 5, and I'm pissed about this one. I ain't even going to lie. I can't believe they did. I had to do a double take on it. Pusha T, The Story of Adidon, 2018.
At number 5, huh?
Number 5. Crazy, man.
Shout out to my man Beneficial because he swears by this song. And I told him it's not even like that. I was like, give me some bars from it that were crazy. I'm like, the whole thing that made that song great was the shock value, right? Of finding out that Drake had the
kid.
Yeah,
because he said he had a kid.
That was it. But my man Beneficial, shout out to you, Ben. He swears by that song.
Nah, that song's trash. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't fuck with it either.
Right. At number four, Jay-Z, Takeover, 2001.
Oh, yeah, that's...
That was only like a couple lines, though.
What do you mean? He got at what? He got at Nas, he got at what? Mobb Deep on there. It's a diss song. The whole song is a diss track, bro.
It's in the rotation when you talk about diss songs. That's one of the ones you play.
For sure. Coming in at number three, Nas, Ether, 2001.
Ooh, what is two?
I would have flopped Takeover and Ether, to be honest with you. I would have flopped them. I was always a Takeover person.
No way.
But hold on. Let me tell you why.
Takeover over Ether,
I am.
Bro.
And let me tell you why. Ether was more of making fun of Jay, right? Or like Big Lips and whatever he was saying. Like that to me, it's cool. It's funny. But when Hov got at them on Takeover, that was just like fact after fact after fact. There was no denying what Hov was saying on that song. That's why I give Takeover the edge.
Coming in at number two, Ice Cube, No Vaseline, 1991.
Yeah, okay.
I had No Vaseline at number two in my head.
I had No Vaseline at number three. And I had Ether at number two, and I already know what number one's got to be.
I've been telling this dude this for like a week. He's like, do the list. I'm like, we already know what number one is. Coming in at number one, Hit 'Em Up, featuring the Outlaws, 1996, the greatest diss record of all time.
Not even close.
Hey, I did not debate that. I said that it would be a debate because you can put Ether up there. West Coast cats would do the No Vaseline shit. You know what I'm saying? That Ice Cube No Vaseline diss is freaking legendary.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah. He took down the whole group and the manager.
Yo, that shit.
That's crazy. Nuts. You took down the group and the manager.
That top four is special. That top four is special.
All right, yo. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the podcast. That's DAPODCAV. Also, make sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube and click them notifications so you'll know when we're dropping new content. And also, keep telling a friend to tell a friend. Help us grow our page. Help us grow our brand. We appreciate you all. And keep listening to us. We're your favorite podcaster stream. Back to you, B.
Aaron, we appreciate you joining us. Let the people know where they can find you at.
Yeah, that was a hell of an outro. I'm at I Am That Boy AB on Instagram, Aaron Barrison on Facebook. I'll be posting all this stuff as soon as you give me the clips. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
Nah, we appreciate you coming by, man. Tap in with Aaron's page, man. The ladies, Aaron, look, they going to be liking you, man. You one of them like Mikey P type. You Italian?
Mikey P. What's he up to? You got to get him on.
Nobody
here,
knows. He won't answer anybody's calls any day anymore.
He climbing jungle gyms and stuff.
Dude said he was going to take me to WrestleMania, and then he went ghost.
Oh, man. Hey, when we do the ghosting episode, you know, Mikey P, somebody that ghosted you for WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Disrespectful, man. Disrespectful. Rocco would have took you, though. We can edit that.
Damn, bro.
On that note,
I ain't even heard anything else about him. Have you ever heard any more of Rocco's escapades?
Nah.
You was the only one tapped in with him like that, brother.
Maybe he went to rehab.
Nah,
I never tapped in with that motherfucker. He hit on me.
Nah, kill it. We ain't talking about that. Hey, yo, we out of here.